Lonestead.
But there's times that certain plants are available and certain plants are not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. If we run out of something, many times you can't replace it until, you know, the following year.
And is that because of how you do you grow from seed? Do you grow from plugs? Like what's your usual
method? It really depends on the individual plant, but many times there's an ideal starting point for most things and a finishing point, and you really can't change those two things too much. There's a little bit of wiggle room. Other plants you can do 3 or 4 times a year and just keep recycling them in if they're really fast. Salvias are a really good example. All those salvias, you can do them the last day of March. You can do them every 6 or 8 weeks into pots.
But your heavy planting season is what, like February, March, April?
We plant from probably the last couple of days of March right through October. There's not a week that goes by that or day that goes by that we're not.
Do you do more plugs than seed?
So we do plants from our own seed in that one small greenhouse as much as we can. A lot of things come easily from seed. And then everything else that's cuttings we'll purchase, but it comes in as a plug.
Right.
And then also bare roots. Bare roots are a tremendous amount.
Yeah.
Springtime.
Yep.
There's a certain point where when you get into the middle or late May, you want to be done with your bare roots, have those in pots. And then we can do bare roots again when we get into September where it cools off a little bit, where they can root in and have good success that way.
And do you collect your own seed, or do you basically, you're buying seed?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, that's some of the fun. There's certain things you can collect pretty easily from plants that I have at my house, plants at the nursery, plants on the side of the road.
Like what kinds of plants do you collect the seed of?
A bunch of native things.
Coneflowers or?
No, I don't collect any coneflowers. Huh. We purchase all of those because the seed has to be exactly
true to seed.
Yeah, there's a whole host of things. Rebecca's, asters from the side of the road, Eupatorium, Hyssopifoliums, Heterotheca villosa, which is really hard to find.
What is that? So
Heterotheca is actually a golden aster.
Oh, okay.
It grows a good 4.5 feet tall. And
does it look like a goldenrod to the casual eye?
It looks like an aster that's completely yellow.
I gotta make a note.
Tim
got some last time you were there.
It's super rugged, right? It's
super
crazy
rugged, is right. Yes.
So when I drive along the county roads and I see a crazy person picking seed, that's you, right?
Probably. There's a lot of crazy people
that's
out there.
That's true.
I don't. But in the fall, I do carry a pair of scissors and paper bags in my car.
We do that too.
And notations.
Okay, so now here's the question. Do you keep all your seeds in a candy box or a canning jar? Things like I do.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, they get cleaned and sorted, labeled.
Oh, I don't do that.
And put in the fridge.
Oh, yeah, I do that with a lot of them.
You do need to label them as to what they are because you think you'll remember what this is. And so the date you collect it. And what it is, that's really all you need.
And how do you even sort through what you're going to plant, what you're going to buy? Like, how do you decide what's on your list?
That's what we do in the middle of the winter.
Uh-huh.
And of course, over the course of the year, all my landscape customers, gardeners are coming and going, and we're having conversations. And many times they'll go like, oh, you need to grow this. Today is really great. I love
fashion.
This plant and I can't find it. Yes, it's very fashion. So I've learned to take those notes, just really quick, scribble it down, pin it back on the board.
So there's kind of in plants that are in this year?
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. What's the most requested this year? Do you have, I want to know what it
there's
is.
There's a peony I'm roasting after.
Yeah. Is there something that people have been going crazy over this year or just a bunch of different things?
It's a real broad spectrum. Mm. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I have to go to my notes.
Yeah.
Because
it's
really overwhelming as to how much stuff comes at you.
I know
all
I've been
time.
Trying to convince Joe to plant more goldenrod solidago. And he's just resistant.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah. It's the best. It's a great plant.
Has it become a noxious weed in England where they grow it on purpose? It can be really aggressive.
Yeah, there are different types, but I'm going to just defend goldenrod here.
Fine.
There's many, many varieties of it that are great.
Of course, it has to sell. So
right.
You come in and buy three pots of something I have 100 of, and then those are the 97 sit and become weedy.
I want to know how you keep everything watered in the summer, because that must be a huge challenge, right?
This last year was super easy because it seemed it rained every third or fourth day. Not so much that it was a real problem, but we have an automatic irrigation system. It's in now 3 different zones, and it clicks on every other day. It runs from 2 in the morning till 6 in the morning. I get there. I never see it turned on.
Oh, so you don't – I mean, do you hand water as well?
Oh, sure, especially in brand new things.
Oh, the babies.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
once a baby goes into a pot,
yep.
You know, and then it's usually on a wagon, so it's got to get watered, and then we park it – off someplace, and they root in 3 or 4 weeks mm-hmm. out there on the wagons. So you have to go back to the wagons because we don't have irrigation out there. And once it's ready, once it's full, then it goes into the nursery. It's kind of a finished product.
So it's the pre-nursery nursery.
There you go. Yeah, kind of. Right. Yeah.
And you probably have more people working with you in the summer than, say, at this time of year, right?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's here with me now. But springtime, there's 6 or 7 of us, plus mm-hmm. myself. And then in the summer, they kind of all disperse out into other jobs. And I'll usually run the place with just myself and 2 people mm-hmm. each day.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady. Oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
Waif Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Waif Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
On Thursday, May 11th, turn out for a public information session for WGXC Community Contributors Program. If you want to be on the radio at WGXC, now is your chance. Turn out at 6 p.m. Thursday, May 11th at the Kinderhook Memorial Library for an information session and a chance to find out how to get on the air at 90.7 FM. The WGXC Community Contributors Program is created to bolster Waif Farm's mission of participatory radio. We're looking for volunteer producers, programmers, and more to make segments to air in the primetime drive time hours on the station. Features, reviews, stories, and more. If you'd like to interview local farmers or do restaurant reviews or have another idea for a short segment on the radio, please get in touch at content@wgxc.org or turn out May 11th at 6 p.m. at Kinderhook Memorial Library for a public information session about the WGXC Community Contributors Program.
All I'm acting for the Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Athens, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
My name is Claire. I'm 8, and I'm from Athens.
My name is Fatia, and I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
We love books, hey, and books, things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Our friend Georgia can't join us today, and our friend Amelia also can't. But we want to congratulate Amelia, who just graduated from college this past weekend. So congrats, Amelia. But I'm excited to talk with Claire and Fatia today about some books. And I think Fatia might have to leave early today, so we're going to have Fatia go first. What did you want to share today, Fatia?
Chapter 3, The Super Pets. When the pets save their owners.
Oh, wait. For those that haven't been listening to the past couple shows that you've been on, can you tell them a little bit about what they've missed? What is the story that you're going to be sharing? It's a chapter from what book?
This is a chapter from the superheroes team comes to the rescue. So basically there's like a superhero and their name was Spider-Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, but then they were looking for someone and their name was Flash, and then when they found them, like there was like a big battle, and then in another chapter they also got lost. They had to find wild berries and salt water. And then they like were fighting a lot. There's a lot of battles. And then their pets came in.
I love pets. But this is a graphic novel that you've been writing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So chapter 3. Let us know what happens.
When the pets saved their owners, the Joker put a sneak attack on the pets. When they all went home, the pets felt sick. So the owners took them to the top secret doctor only for heroes. So they flew to the doctor. When they arrived, they all went inside the base and it looked like it was one down. So they all went inside. The doctor asked the pets what their names were. Then the pets talked. Batman's pet's name was Alex. Wonder Woman's pet's name was Mia. Supergirl's pet name was April. Superman's pet's name was Liam, and Spider-Man's pet name was Danger. And lastly, Flash's pet's name was Parley. After every pet told the doctor their names, they went to the shot room where they all got a shot that makes them the stronger pet there is. So when they got the shot, the pets all fell asleep and woke again. They all felt better, but they were curious who made their pet sick. Then they went to the Joker's base and knocked and found Joker. They were about to beat him up until he told them he just wanted to be friends with everyone. But Supergirl told me I can't be friends with you guys. So they all turned to Supergirl and asked her why she did not want to be friends with Joker. Supergirl said because he was so strange. Then they all became friends and lived happily ever after. The end.
Aww, that's a nice twist. The Joker becomes their friend. If the Joker wasn't evil, he might be pretty fun. But I guess in your story, he's not evil. He just wants friends.
Yeah.
That's great. I love a continuing saga of superheroes. And their pets. I'd like to see their pets someday. I look forward to reading this graphic novel in person so I can see all the pictures. And thank you for sharing your story. Is that the end of the story or just the end of the chapter?
It's the end of the story.
Oh, so you finished. Congrats.
Thank you.
Awesome. So what's next? Do you have a book that you're thinking of writing next? Or a topic for a book that you're interested in writing?
I already started a new book like 2 days ago, and I'm on like the fourth chapter
that
I'm
doing. Is that one also a graphic novel? Or is it just a fiction book? Or is it fiction? Is it a story? Or is it an informational book?
Yeah. It's fiction.
Awesome. Well, good luck with your next book. Love getting to hear your stories. So let's move on to Claire. What did you want to talk about today?
Well, I have this book that I also am creating, and I'm not even finished with the first page, but I'll read you a little bit of it. Violet jumped out of the car at the new apartment. Everything was in big boxes. Violet said, "Hello, Australia." And then I'm going to write, Violet lived in a big city in Australia called Melbourne, which is actually a big city in Australia.
Yeah. So is she moving at the beginning of the story? Is that what the boxes are about? Cool. Is she moving from somewhere within Australia or from a different country?
She's moving from New York City. She has to take a plane.
That's pretty neat. That must be a big move, especially for a kid moving across the world. I never experienced that. I grew up, I moved to the town I grew up in when I was one, and I moved out when I went to college. So I never had the experience of a whole new place. Have either of you made a move in your life?
When I was a baby, I moved from New York to Athens. And then I moved
to... You don't remember it either.
And then I moved to Sleepy Hollow. And I only go to Athens on Wednesdays and Fridays.
How about you, Fatia? Did you always live in Hudson, or did you have a move at any point in your life? Oh, okay. Fatia, sleep. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
But yeah, I look forward to hearing your story as it develops. I hope you'll share more in a future week. Have you ever been to Australia, or are you doing research on what it's like in Melbourne?
No, I haven't done any research. I'm not really going to do any research on it. I'm just going to, that's all I'm really going to do research on. But I'm going to write more about the story. It's not, really a research story. Although in it, Violet is going to go to an Australian petting zoo and meet wallabies and pandas.
Oh, cool.
I mean, koalas.
Yeah, somehow I translated in my brain what you meant. I was like, not pandas, koalas.
Oh.
I would love to meet those animals. They seem very cute. I've never been to that continent.
Oh, actually, I've seen a wallaby before, and they're technically just they look just like baby kangaroos. I've never seen a baby kangaroo before, but when I first saw it, I didn't know what it was. So I was like, Mom, look, there's baby kangaroo. And then she looked, and then she's like, oh, there's another one. And then we looked at the sign, and it said, and we're like, oh, it's a wallaby.
Yep. Very cool. Is your book, is it a chapter book, or is it a picture book?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a chapter book. I think I'm going to make a chapter book.
Sounds interesting. I don't have a book that I wrote to share. I don't write books.
Well, then you should. And they're great. Everybody else does.
I'm just not much of a writer. I'm more of a reader than a writer. But I could try to dig up one of the books that I read wrote when I was a kid, because I did write some books when I was a kid. Maybe I could read one of those. What I did want to share this week was some descriptions for some books that are coming out this month that I'm excited for, and that perhaps our listeners would be excited for as well. So I had picked out a few, two chapter books and one graphic novel that were written for kids. So first off, there's a book called The Storyteller by Brandon Hobson. I think this might be his first book for youth. I'm not positive, but I know he had a book that he wrote for adults that was a National Book Award finalist, or he was a National Book Award finalist for this book that he wrote for adults. So I will read the description for this one. And this is like a middle grade fiction, fantasy, magic book. So here's the description. From National Book Award finalist Brandon Hobson, a kaleidoscopic middle grade adventure that mixes the anxieties, friendships, and wonders of a Cherokee boy's life with Cherokee history and lore. Ziggy has anxiety. Partly this is because of the way his mind works and how overwhelmed he can get when other people, especially his classmate Alice, are in the room. And partly it's because his mother disappeared when he was very young, making her one of many Native women who've gone mysteriously missing. Ziggy and his sister, Moon, want answers, but nobody around can give them. Once Ziggy gets it in his head that clues to his mother's disappearance may be found in a nearby cave, there's no stopping him from going there. Along with Moon, Alice, and his best friend, Corso, he sets out on a mind-bending adventure where he'll discover his story is tied to all the stories of the Cherokees that have come before him. Ziggy might not have any control over the past, but if he learns the lessons of the storytellers, he might be able to better shape his future and find the friends he needs. And that's The Storyteller by Brandon Hobson.
Once my class learned about Cherokee Nations.
Oh, yeah?
The Cherokee Nations. It's an indigenous nation.
Mm-hmm. Did you read any stories? Or did you?
No.
Was it mostly history or was it also present day information?
Mostly history.
I thought that sounded like a really good book. I'm excited to check it out. I like that there's a sort of mystery element, but it also ties into like present day realities of people in Cherokee Nation. And I'm curious to read his book since I've heard good things about his adult book. I haven't actually read his adult book yet, but I'm definitely going to check this one out. And then there's another book I wanted to share called Ellie Engel Saves Herself. And on the cover, it says Ellie Engel Saves the World. And then the world is crossed off. And then it says herself. And it's by Leah Johnson, who I also don't know if she's written for middle grade audiences before. She's written for teens. And one of the books that she wrote for teens is one of my favorite teen books of recent years. So I'm excited to check this one out. But yeah, this one's it's suggested for grades 3 to 4 or ages 8 to 9. So it's a younger audience. And here's the description. From award-winning YA author Leah Johnson comes her middle grade debut. Oh, there's my question answered right there. A laugh until you cry, cry until you laugh story about friendship, change, and the power we have to love ourselves. Ellie Engel doesn't stand out, not at home, where she's alone with her pet fish since her dad moved away and her mom has to work around the clock. Not at the bakery, where she helps out old Mr. Walker on the weekends. And definitely not at school, where her best friend Abby, the coolest, boldest, most talented girl in the world, drags Ellie along on her never-ending quest to make her mark. To someone else, a life in the shadows might seem boring or lonely, but not to Ellie. As long as she has Abby by her side and a comic book in her hand, she's quite content. Too bad life didn't bother checking in with Ellie, because when a freak earthquake hits her small town, Ellie wakes up with the power to bring anything back to life with just her touch. And when a video of her using her power suddenly goes viral, Ellie's life goes somewhere she never imagined or wanted, straight into the spotlight. Surviving middle school is hard enough. Surviving middle school when paparazzi are camped out on your front lawn and an international pop singer wants you to use your powers on live TV, and you might be in love with your best friend, but she doesn't know it? Absolutely impossible. So that is Ellie Engel Saves Herself. I think that sounds really fun. A lot going on. I feel like middle school is tough enough at times without having superpowers and paparazzi.
When I was little, I used to think the paparazzi meant like the limo. Paparazzi.
You're like, I want a paparazzi to drive me around town.
Yeah.
So I have a third book that I wanted to highlight this week that I'm really excited about. It is called Katie the Cat Sitter, Secrets and Sidekicks. And this is the third book in the Katie the Cat Sitter series. And it's a graphic novel, middle grade graphic novel. And I loved the first two books. And so I'm really excited to read this one as well. It's by Colleen A.F. Venable with illustrations by Stephanie Yu. And the Katie the Cat Sitter book is basically about a young woman named Katie who shockingly gets work as a cat sitter. No, you wouldn't expect that from the title. But the cats that she's cat sitting have some special talents. And so this description might be a little bit of a spoiler for the first books, but I feel like when you read the first books, or at least when I read the first books, I felt like you can kind of tell what's going on. So there's kind of like Katie eventually discovers what's going on, but I feel like you can kind of tell along the way. So I don't think it's too much of a spoiler, but here it is. Calling all graphic novel fans, get ready for sidekick training and friendship drama with Katie the Cat Sitter in book 3 of the perfectly irresistible best-selling middle grade graphic novel series about growing up, friendship, heroes, and cats. Lots of cats. What's better than BFFs? Super sidekick BFFs. Katie can't wait to have Beth join her for sidekick training until it turns out Beth might be a way better sidekick than Katie. And now Beth and Marie are hanging out all the time. Jess is acting super weird, and Katie still needs to tell her mom about being a sidekick. Oh yeah, and giant robots are attacking the city. So that's not great. Can Katie and 217 super unusual cats work together to save the city and seventh grade? Or is Katie about to be in super trouble? Bonus, includes instructions to make your own friendship bracelet. Looking for more cats and more fun? Don't miss Katie the Cat Sitter and Katie the Cat Sitter, Best Friends for Never. So I'm super excited for this book because I loved the first two in the series. And I love cats, and I love superheroes, and I love superheroes and sidekicks and super cats saving the world. And seventh grade too, why not? But that's Katie the Cat Sitter, 3 Secrets and Sidekicks by Colleen A.F. Venable, illustrations by Stephanie Yu. And all three of these books are out. So they're out in the world, place your holds, check them out from shelves at your local library, find them at your favorite bookstore, whatever floats your boat. Yeah, so those were the books I wanted to highlight today. I also wanted to remind our listeners that the Hudson Children's Book Festival is this weekend. If you're listening to this on Sunday, it already happened. But if you're listening to this on Friday, our initial broadcast of the weekend, the book festival is tomorrow, Saturday, May 6th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hudson Junior Senior High School. And there's
the book festival?
Yep.
Did it already happen?
It's Saturday, May 6th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So there's a great lineup of authors and illustrators attending the book festival this year. We're excited it's back after a COVID-related hiatus of a few years. So we're really excited to be back there, and we're really grateful to everyone that works to put this together and all of the authors and illustrators who are participating. Stop by the exhibitors hall to see your friendly librarians.
Friendly librarian.
It's
a librarian ice cream social.
Yeah, except no ice cream, but that I know of. Maybe there's ice cream there. But yeah, definitely go to HudsonChildrensBookFestival.com to get a preview of all the great authors and illustrators who will be there. There will be some performances throughout the day. There's also information on the bus route. There's a free bus that has various stops throughout Hudson. So if you're trying to get there and you need a lift, look that up. But yeah, so many great authors. So we wouldn't have time to go through every single author and illustrator who is coming, but you should definitely check out the website for that list. There's a lot of authors and illustrators who have written books that I've read in recent months and absolutely loved, or books that I've read throughout time. But just looking through the list, Artie Bennett is back. He's been there a number of times. He writes a lot of books that are kind of like the gross books, like books, the butt book, or belches, burps, and farts. Oh my. But his latest book is really cute. It's called The True Story of Zippy Chippy, the Little Horse That Couldn't. And it's such a cute picture book about this horse that, like, just, it's a racehorse, but it's not good at racing. And I thought it was a really sweet book. Really funny, charming. Let's see. I just finished Jerry Craft's School Trip, the third book in the New Kids series. It was awesome, as I expected. I love that series. It's a graphic novel middle grade series. Mike Corrado is attending